Presenting
The Complete
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
This is Orson Welles speaking from London.
As the third man.
Stand by.
We'll be on the air in 15 seconds, Mr. Welles.
Yes, I know.
Stand by, everybody.
Mercury Theater on the air presents Orson Welles as Count Dracula in his own version of Bram Stoker's great novel, Dracula.
What evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Hello, world, and welcome to the fourth post of The Complete Orson Welles. This episode, we will wrap up his adaptation of Les Miserables by Victor Hugo. These are the last two episodes of the seven-part series. His first wife, Virginia Nicholson, is featured as the adult version of the main character, Cosette. As I said, this post is two episodes in one, the first being The Barricade, which aired August 27, 1937.
So long as these problems are not solved, so long as ignorance and poverty remain on earth, these words cannot be useless.
These are the words which preface the sixth of seven broadcasts based on Victor Hugo's great novel, Les Miserables. WOR and the Mutual Network present Orson Welles, distinguished young author, actor, and director, in an adaptation of the book which he has created especially for radio. Each episode portrays some development in the progress of Jean Valjean, a role played by Orson Welles, who is also heard as he reads the narrative passages. Les Miserables.
The story of Jean Valjean and Inspector Javert. The episode which is called The Barricade.
Official order, delivered under seal, March 9th, 1821. Inspector Javert will seize the body of Monsieur Madeleine, the mayor of Montreux, who has identified himself this day in court as the discharged convict, Jean Valjean. Six times from the galleys, twice from the double chain, and twice from under my grasp. Last night he escaped from me. We had him, my men and I, and he gave us the slip. Then we had him again. We hunted him through the city. His flight was embarrassed by the child Cosette, whom he carried in his arms. We were on every side of him. The walls were too high to climb. He was surrounded. He was trapped in a closed and guarded street. And he disappeared. Jean Valjean has escaped. 1832. Sedition, mutiny, rebellion. These are dangerous times. Never before has the vandalism and the lawlessness of the mob had such reign. The very government is in peril, and there are whispers of another revolution in France. We of the police are wakeful and vigilant. Here in Paris, the riotings of the people, led by some party of young fanatics, has grown to downright insurrection. And I have today intelligence of a barricade to be erected in a certain section of the city. True or no, this rumor is worthy of attention, and I'm going there in disguise to mingle with the revolutionaries. Today, June 6th, is the anniversary of Jean Valjean's escape. It's the date of my failure as a police officer. 30 years now I've been in this service. All this time, I've devoted to police duty the strictest honesty and watchfulness and discipline. I've given it my mind, my heart, and my hope. I've made it my whole life. But so long as this man, Valjean, remains alive and free in the world, my purpose is thwarted. My honor is a joke. For this Jean Valjean has become a principal in the order of my code. He is all that must be checked. He is crime. Worse than that, he is license. It's 12 years since I've seen him. I shall see him again. I shall know him when I see him. And he shall not escape. Once Valjean forgave me, I shall not forgive him.
Cosette. Cosette, is something wrong? Cosette!
Yes?
May I come in?
Yes, Father.
My little one, you haven't stirred from your room this whole day. Now tell me something. What's on that pretty cheek?
I don't know.
Well, I do. It's a tear, and it has no business there. You've been weeping a great deal. Tell me, what for?
For him.
What's his name?
Marius. Marius Pontmercy.
Tell me about him.
We met at the Luxembourg. He's going to be killed. Father, why have they made that barricade?
For protection, my child. It's a kind of fort for the revolutionaries.
Marius is at the barricade.
How do you know?
He was a rebel. He pledged himself to the insurrection. He told me that.
When did you see him last?
I haven't seen him at all for 2 months. We used to meet in the garden of the old house, and I was afraid to tell you.
He may not be at the barricade.
I got this letter. It came this morning.
Let me see, little one. You, Mademoiselle Cosette Fauchelevent, Monsieur Fauchelevent's Rue Lame, number 7. Our marriage was impossible. I have asked my grandfather. He has refused. I am without fortune, and you also. You know the promise that I gave you. I keep it. I die. I love you. When you read this, my soul will be near you. Marius.
They say that the soldiers from the government have brought cannon and aimed them at the barricade. That will end it. All day I've sat here, listening. When I hear the first cannon, I'll know surely that he's dead.
Do you wish to speak to us?
Surrender quietly and spare your prisoner, and we'll give you fair trial.
It is you who are on trial.
Give up your prisoner, the police inspector. What are your terms?
Our prisoner is not a hostage. He is a spy, a policeman who masqueraded as one of us. He will be executed before the last of us. We have no terms.
Down the discharge!
Take command here. I'll hold the north barricade. You, comrade.
Yes, Marius.
Go behind the tavern wall. Our prisoner, the police spy, is tied back there to a table. Shoot him.
Yes, Marius.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Marius.
Goodbye, Marius.
That's a brave man, comrade.
Yes, that's a brave man.
He has no fear of death. It's almost as though he were in love with her.
There's one whom Marius loves more than death.
He must be safe for her.
Indeed? Who are you?
I am her father.
Father of Cosette?
What are you doing here? How did you get into the barricade?
No matter. I've come to save your comrade. He must not know that I'm here.
Sound the discharge!
Monsieur.
Yes?
Will you hold this position for me? I have orders from Marius. I must go execute the spy.
Who is the spy?
A police inspector who impersonated a revolutionary and was caught here on the barricade. I am to shoot him.
A police inspector?
Yes, monsieur. His name is Javert.
Let me shoot him.
What, monsieur?
Let me shoot him. You hold the post.
Very well, if you wish it.
I wish it. Where is he? Where is Javert?
Around the corner of the street, monsieur. Tied up behind the wall.
Down the shot!
Jean Valjean.
Javert.
I might have expected this. To find you here amongst vandals and insurrectionists. Amongst cutthroats and destroyers of public property. God, this is as it should be. Well, hurry up, hurry up. I'm tied. You've got a gun. Justice is chained and the convict is free. Go on, Jean Valjean. You've got a gun. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Jean Valjean, why did you fire that gun in the air?
Have you got a knife?
I knew it. Assassin!
Where is your knife?
In the side pocket of my coat. Assassin! Knifer! I knew you'd use a knife. You're cutting my ropes. Why are you doing this? Well, I'm unarmed. Take your revenge.
You may go.
What do you mean?
The back streets are open. You're known to the army. They'll recognize you and you'll be safe. There's none here but us.
You fool. Let me go and I'll get you. You know that. Alive or dead, I'll get you.
I don't expect to leave this place. But if I should, you could find me under the name of Fauchelevent in the Rue de l'Armée, number 7.
Fauchelevent. Rue de l'Armée. Why don't you kill me?
Number 7.
Number 7. I'll come for you.
I'll be waiting. It is the story of the barricades, that it fell at this moment. Everywhere was the terrible confusion of death and defeat. Jean Valjean found Marius unconscious, horribly wounded, covered with blood but still breathing. He threw the boy on his shoulder and ran to the far end of the street. But for the silent dead of the insurrection, this place was deserted. Here was peace but no safety. Here was silence and no exit. Here were no walls to climb, no passageways, no alleys. Here was a momentary island in the midst of the armies of France. 12 years before, Jean Valjean had been hunted down and trapped in a closed street. The child Cosette was in his arms. Now he carried her lover. He had looked up that night and seen the rope of a street lamp and found safety. Now he looked down and found there at his feet an iron door in the pavements. With Javert's own knife, he pried open the grating. In another instant, he lowered Marius and himself through this opening and was under the streets. Jean Valjean was in the sewers. Paris has another Paris under herself. A Paris of sewers which has its streets, its squares, its blind alleys, and its circulation, which is slime. The sewer is the conscience of the city. In this lurid place there is darkness, but there are no secrets. Underneath these vaults we breathe the enormous fetidness of social catastrophe. We see reddish reflections on the corners. There flows a terrible water in which bloody hands have been washed. It was in the sewer of Paris that Jean Valjean found himself. In a moment, he had passed from broad day to obscurity, from noon into midnight. His first sensation was blindness. He reached out his hand and touched the wall, realized that the passage was narrow. He slipped in the water. A whip of fetidness informed him where he was. The frenzied storm of murder which was raging a few feet above him reached him as a stifled and indistinct rumbling. Then suddenly, Jean Valjean had reached an angle of the sewer. And he saw before him at the extremity of the passage a light. It was a good and white light. It was day. He saw the outlet. He felt exhaustion no more. He felt Marius's weight no longer. He ran rather than walked. He reached the outlet. There he stopped. The arch was closed by a grating. A grating held in a stone frame by a stout lock. The grating did not stir. Its lock held fast. And suddenly, Jean Valjean knew that a man was there, standing beside him, waist deep in the water. A man, standing in the darkness.
I've been waiting for you.
It was Javert.
You got here sooner than I expected.
Inspector Javert?
Yes, Jean Valjean.
Grant me one favor. This boy is dying. Before you take me to prison, help me to carry him to his home.
There's a carriage waiting on the beach.
You are silent, Javert. I should think you would be happy. I must thank you for helping me to take that wounded boy to his family. They will be grateful to you. Javert.
Yes?
I'm going to ask you something more. Something I know you won't permit. Cosette. I've been with her all these years. She's very dear to me. May I say goodbye to her?
Driver. The Rue de l'Armée. Number 7. Here's your home. Go up and see her. What are you waiting for?
I'm waiting for you.
I'll be here below in the street.
Then you trust me?
I'll wait in the street.
Jean Valjean ran up the stairway to Cosette's little room. He stopped at the landing and looked back through the window. He was bewildered by what he did not see. There was nobody in the street. Javert was gone. What was the story of Javert? Javert made his way with slow steps from the Rue de l'Armée. He plunged into the silent streets. Still, he followed one direction. He took the shortest route toward the Seine. There had been a new thing, a revolution, a catastrophe in the depths of his being. One thing had astonished him, that Jean Valjean had spared him. And one thing had petrified him, that he, Javert, had spared Jean Valjean. Where was he? He sought himself and found himself no longer. Destiny has certain extremities precipitous upon the impossible, and beyond which life is no more than an abyss. Javert was at one of these extremities. Jean Valjean confounded him. All the axioms which had been the support of his whole life crumbled away before this man. A beneficent malefactor, a compassionate convict, kind, helpful, clement, returning good for evil, returning pardon for hatred, loving pity rather than vengeance, preferring to destroy himself rather than to destroy his enemy, saving him who had stricken him, kneeling upon the height of virtue, nearer the angels than men, Javert was compelled to acknowledge that this monster existed. An entire new world appeared to his soul. He perceived in the darkness the fearful rising of an unknown moral sun. Truth, which he had no wish for, besieged him. He saw what he had revolted at seeing. He felt that he was emptied, useless, broken off from his past life, destitute. Authority was dead in him. He had no further reason for existence. There was only two ways to get out of it. One, to go resolutely to Jean Valjean and return the man of the galleys to the dungeon. The other, Javert made his way with a firm step toward the post indicated by a lamp at one of the corners of the Place du Châtelet. On reaching it, he entered. There was a policeman there. Javert gave his name, showed his card to the sergeant, and sat down at the table of the post on which a candle was burning. There was a pen on the table, a leaden inkstand, and some paper in readiness for chance reports and the orders of the night patrol. Javert took the pen and a sheet of paper and began to write. This is what he wrote.
From the notebook of Inspector Javert, some observations for the benefit of the service. First, I beg Monsieur le Préfet to glance at this. Second, the prisoners, on their return from examination, take off their shoes and remain barefooted upon the pavement while they are searched. Many cough on returning to the prison. This involves hospital expenses. Third, it is difficult to explain why why the special regulation of the prison forbids a prisoner to have a chair, even on paying for it. Fourth, the prisoners called barkers, who call the other prisoners to the parlor, make the prisoner pay them 2 sous for calling his name distinctly. This is a theft. Fifth, for a dropped thread, they retain 10 sous from the prisoner in the weaving shop. This is an abuse on the part of the contractor, since the cloth is just as good. Sixth, it is certain that gendarmes are every day heard relating the examinations of those brought before the magistrates. For a gendarme who should hold such things sacred to repeat what he has heard in the examining chamber is a serious disorder. Javert, inspector of the first class. June 7th, 1832, about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Javert dried the fresh ink on this paper, folded it very carefully like a letter, sealed it, wrote on the back a note for the administration, left it on the table, and went slowly out of the post. The glazed and grated door closed behind him. He crossed the Place du Châtelet and gained the key. Here was darkness. Darkness complete. It was that sepulchral and terrible moment which follows midnight. Javert was standing exactly over the rapids of the Seine, perpendicularly over that formidable whirlpool which knots and unknots itself like an endless screw. Javert bent his head and looked. All was black. What was beneath was not water. It was chasm. The wall of the quay, abrupt, confused, mingled with vapor, suddenly lost to sight, seemed to him like an escarpment of the infinite. Javert, inspector of police, 30 years in the service of France, stood there on that promontory of the darkness and looked into the end of the night. He saw nothing. But he perceived the hostile chill of the water and the insipid odor of the moist stones. A fierce breath rose up from that abyss. The swollen river guessed at rather than perceived the tragical whispering of the flood, the dismal vastness of the arches of the bridge, the imaginable fall into that gloomy void. All that shadow was full of horror. Javert remained for some minutes motionless on that pinnacle in the middle of the midnight, gazing into that opening of darkness. Then suddenly, without a sound, no expression on that great, bearded, beastly face, he took off his hat and laid it on the edge of the quay. A moment afterwards, a tall black form appeared standing on the parapet, bent toward the Seine, then sprang up and fell straight into the darkness. It is the last that was ever seen of Inspector Javert.
WOR and the Mutual Network have brought you part 6 of Victor Hugo's absorbing masterpiece, Les Miserables, the episode which was called The Barricade. Orson Welles, distinguished young author, actor, and director, played the role of Jean Valjean and was also heard reading the narrative passages. Assisting Mr. Welles were Martin Gable as Javert, William Johnstone as Marius, Virginia Wells as Cosette, Ray Collins, Hiram Sherman, and others. Next Friday evening at 9:30 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, we shall present the 7th and final episode of Les Miserables. ¶¶
This is the Coast to Coast Network of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Well, that was The Barricade. Next is the second of this post and the last of the series titled, aptly titled, The Final Episode. This episode aired September 3rd, 1937.
So long as these problems are not solved, so long as ignorance and poverty remain on Earth, these words cannot be useless.
These are the words which preface the seventh and final broadcast based on Victor Hugo's great novel, Les Misérables. WOR and the Mutual Network present Orson Welles, distinguished young author, actor, and director, in an adaptation of the book which he has created especially for radio. Each episode portrays some development in the progress of Jean Valjean, a role played by Orson Welles, who is also heard as he reads the narrative passages. Part 7. The final episode of Les Misérables.
In Paris, on the 16th of February, 1833, there was celebrated the marriage of Cosette Fauchelevent to Marius Pontmercy. The date of the wedding was Mardi Gras, and the ceremonies were held in a city gay with flowers and merrymaking. The bride's father, Monsieur Fauchelevent, having suffered a severe accident to his arm, was not present.
Father, how good to see you. We missed you yesterday, but you've really come too early. Cosette is still asleep, but I can tell you the news. You are to come and live with us. It has all been decided. You are part of our happiness, Father. Cosette and I insist you share it with us.
Monsieur.
Is anything wrong? Is your arm still troubling you?
There is nothing wrong with my arm.
Is it wise for you to take the bandage off so soon?
There has never been anything wrong with it. You can see for yourself.
But yesterday you didn't come to our wedding. It was because you hurt your hand.
It was the best that I should be absent from your marriage.
Your pardon, Father, I don't know what you're talking about.
Marius, I'm a convict. I've been in the galleys.
The galleys? You? Cosette's father?
Before God, I am not the father of Cosette. I am a peasant of Faverolles. And my name is not Fauchelevent. It is Jean Valjean. That is true, monsieur.
I believe you.
Cosette is very dear to me, but... Well, 10 years, I didn't know Cosette existed 10 years ago. I am, after all, a passerby in her life. And today, our roads separate. She is now Madame Pontmercy. I can do nothing for her. I leave her to your care, monsieur.
But you could have kept your secret. No one would have known.
Perhaps not, monsieur, but I shall always know. You think I might have been happy with you. I... Have I the right to be happy? Suppose I remain, Monsieur Fauchelevent. I come to stay with you. We are together. And some fine day, while we're laughing and chatting, you hear a voice shout, Jean Valjean, and the police spring out of the shadow and tear off my mask. What then?
Father. Father, dearest. I've missed you so.
Cosette. We're talking of business.
Father, you're pale. Does your arm hurt you?
It is well.
What is it then? Are you sad?
No.
Then kiss me. That's better. Now I shall stay.
Cosette, darling, we have something to finish.
You still want me to go? Very well, I shall. But don't be long, please.
Poor Cosette.
You must not tell her about me. I entreat you, monsieur. Cosette doesn't know what this world is. The world of the convict and the galleys. Promise me that she shall never know.
I will keep your secret.
Thank you, monsieur. It is all nearly finished. There is one thing left.
What?
You think, monsieur, you think I should not see Cosette again?
I think it would be for the best.
Yes. Yes. Very well, monsieur. I shall not see her again. Jean
Jean Valjean was a convict. But the bridegroom, Marius, did not know the story of his crimes. There are many crimes, and hunger was one of these in the year of our Lord, 1796.
Jean Valjean, before you are sentenced, have you nothing to say to this court?
I was hungry, that's all, Excellency. My sister, she and her little ones, we live at Faverol, Excellency. I'm a pruner. In the season, I earn 18 sous a day, and that's all. It's very hard, Excellency, and they're all hungry, Excellency. Much more hungry than me.
Prisoner, this court finds, proven finally against you, the crime for which you are on trial, namely the burglary of a loaf of bread.
Excellency, what does that mean?
It means you're a thief. Guilty. 5 years in the galleys.
The galleys. 5 years at the oar of a prison ship. 5 years for his first offense.
Jean Valjean, thief.
Guilty.
Attempted escape.
Guilty.
Prisoner, sentence extended.
3 years. Jean Valjean, thief.
Guilty.
Escape in the second attempt.
Guilty.
Prisoner, sentence extended.
3 years. Jean Valjean, thief.
Guilty.
Escape in the third attempt.
Guilty.
Prisoner, sentence extended.
3 years. Jean Valjean, thief.
Guilty.
Escape in the first, second, and third attempts.
Guilty.
Escape in the fourth attempt and resistance.
Guilty.
Prisoner, sentence extended in the double chain.
5 years. Jean Valjean, your term has expired. Here is your passport.
Give it to me. I can read. I've learned to read. Let me look at it. The bearer is a liberated convict having been 19 years in the galleys for stealing a loaf of bread. Original sentence, 5 years. Additional servitude, 14 years. The holder of this passport is a very dangerous man. Excellency, what does that mean?
It means you're free.
What had been the life of this soul? In weariness, in agony, under the whip, under the chain, in the cell, on the convict's bed of plank, under the burning sun of the galleys, Jean Valjean turned to his conscience and reflected. Human society had done him nothing but injury. He had no weapon but his hate. He had resolved to sharpen it in the galleys, and he had taken it with him when he went out. So the passport was right. The yellow passport, which described Jean Valjean as a very dangerous man. It was right that October night in 1815.
Come in. Come in, monsieur. Shut the door.
Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm a convict. You hear that? 4 days ago, they let me out. I've walked all the way from Toulon. I've been 19 years in the galleys. Look, I have money. I'll pay you.
Sit down, monsieur. Make yourself comfortable.
Wait. Did you hear what I said? I said I was a convict. What is this place? It's not an inn. Is this your house?
No. No, this is not my house. It is the house of Christ.
What are you? A priest? Aren't you afraid of me?
No, monsieur. Aren't you afraid of me?
Another crime of Jean Valjean's, of which Marius knew nothing. A crime committed that October night, 18 years before, in the house of the Bishop of Dives. It was the bishop himself who opened the door that night to the convict, Jean Valjean. He made a place for him at his table and gave him a bed in his best chamber. The first bed Jean Valjean had slept in for 19 years. And Jean Valjean lay in his bed, sleepless, all through that long October night. He had many thoughts. He thought first of the goodness of the Bishop of D, and then thought of his silver. The bishop's silver. 6 silver plates. He had seen them at dinner. 200 francs worth of silver, double his pay for 19 years' labor in the chains.
It is true that he stole them. It is true that Jean Valjean stole the plates from the Bishop of D. It is true that he sold these plates for 200 francs and that he used this money to make himself rich. Under the name of Madeleine in the district of Montreux, he set up a workshop for the manufacture of synthetic jet. He prospered. He built a great factory. He became mayor of the city. It is true that Jean Valjean did this with the 6 silver plates he stole that night from the Bishop of D. It is true also that Jean Valjean was never convicted of this crime.
Yes, monsieur.
We are the police, monseigneur.
Police officer.
Silence, prisoner. Monseigneur, this man has been apprehended on the highway in the criminal possession of your plate.
Good morning, Valjean.
You recognize him, monseigneur. That is enough. Here is your silver.
Yes, but where are my candlesticks?
Here are the stolen plates, monseigneur. Were there candlesticks also?
Oh, yes. They are of silver like the rest. Valjean, where are my candlesticks?
I didn't take them.
Monsieur Valjean, I don't think you understood. I gave you the candlesticks as well.
What do you mean?
Monseigneur, the prisoner was running off with your plate.
And he told you that they were given him by an old priest with whom he had lodged the night. And you brought him here.
Yes, monseigneur. Then it's true what he told me?
I have given him the silver.
Then we can let him go?
Of course.
But they aren't mine.
Monsieur, the plates and the candlesticks are yours. Take them. But never forget you have promised me to use this silver to become an honest man.
I have promised you.
Jean Valjean, I have purchased your soul. I withdraw it from the spirit of perversity, and I give it to Almighty God.
Jean Valjean ran out of the city and made haste into the open country. A little gypsy boy passed by him and dropped a penny. Jean Valjean put his foot on the penny and ran after the boy, but he never found him. Another crime. He knew then that he must either conquer or be conquered. It was after this that Jean Valjean, the poor farmer, who became a galley slave, established himself in Montreux as Monsieur Madeleine, the owner of a great factory and a public official. So Jean Valjean was sentenced forever to a new life. And a miracle was worked in his soul by the Bishop of D. Marius knew the father of his bride, Monsieur Fauchelevent, and it came to be that he found out the convict, Jean Valjean. But Marius never heard of the wealthy manufacturer, Monsieur Madeleine, the inventor of a process for the manufacture of imitation jet, the public benefactor, the mayor of Montreux, who, like Fauchelevent, was Jean Valjean. In 1823, this Madeleine was a quiet, hopeful man with but two thoughts in his heart: to conceal his name and to sanctify his life, to escape from men and to return to God. But even in 1823, Jean Valjean was wanted by the police, and there came a dark day in that year when they thought they had him. Certainly a man who looked like Jean Valjean was arrested and accused of Jean Valjean's crime, the theft of a penny. And certainly Jean Valjean, known as Madeleine, attended this man's trial.
Monsieur Madeleine.
Your Honor, the judge.
Your note was sent in to me, monsieur. Permit me to say that your presence in this court is an unexpected compliment.
Thanks, sir.
Will you sit here, Monsieur Madeleine?
We will resume the trial.
Your Excellency, the judge. Your Honor, Monsieur Madeleine, gentlemen of the jury. Who is this man? He is Jean Valjean, accused of one crime for which he is on trial, but he is wanted for another. Highway robbery committed for the gain of one penny from a small boy encountered on the fields outside of D. Convict this Jean Valjean, and he shall be tried again.
What does the man say for himself? May I question him?
Why, if it will interest you, Monsieur Madeleine.
Thank you.
Monsieur Valjean, how long have you been a pruner? His Honor is speaking to you, prisoner. Reply to him.
I don't know, monsieur. My name isn't Valjean. Look here, I'm telling the truth. You've only to ask if it isn't so. Ask how stupid I am. Ask if... I don't know what you want of me.
Officers, enforce order. I am about to pronounce sentence on this man.
One moment. Your Excellency. Your Excellency, may I be permitted a few words? on behalf of the accused, I'd like to tell you about Jean Valjean.
Why, certainly, Monsieur Madeleine. Excellency, they were right when they told you that Jean Valjean was an outlaw. It's true he was a galley slave. It's true he was a criminal. The pennies were stolen, and the loaf of bread, and the bishop was robbed. But mark you, gentlemen, the galleys make the galley slave. This man was a poor peasant, an idiot. He was changed in the galleys. He was stupid. He was made wicked. He was saved later by indulgence and kindness, as he was lost by severity. You won't understand this. There are some things which cannot be told. I cannot relate to you the story of Jean Valjean's life. Someday you will know it. He has done what he could. He has disguised himself under another name. He has desired to enter again amongst honest men. It seems this cannot be. Gentlemen, your prisoner is not he who is on trial before you. Release this man. He is innocent. Gentlemen, I am Jean Valjean.
Jean Valjean, you are charged with concealing your identity and changing your name. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Jean Valjean, you are sentenced to hard labor in the galleys under the double chain for the rest of your life.
But Jean Valjean escaped from the galleys that same year and was never retaken. He was hunted. For 11 years, he lived in the shadows, cowering. Sometimes no more than a step from the terrible creature who pursued him, the policeman, Javert. But now Javert was no more. Small comfort now. Cosette was no more. She belonged to another. She whose childhood was passed in his sight like a summer's day. Whose cares were his only care. Whose joys were his only joy. Who shared with him his only happiness in a long lifetime of misery. Who owned his heart and a whole lifetime of love. Her he had given up. Totally. He was wealthy. He relinquished wealth. He was free, he relinquished freedom. We have seen Jean Valjean give up the world to save a man from the galleys. The cost was not so great to him as this.
I have purchased your soul. I withdraw it from the spirit of perversity, and I give it to Almighty God.
We have seen many things happen to Jean Valjean of which Marius and even Cosette never learned. We have seen crimes which Marius judged without knowing. And more than that, we have beheld the resurrection and transfiguration of a human soul. We know the story without retelling it of Cosette's mother. We have seen Jean Valjean's Fauchelevent, the father of Cosette. And we have seen him at the barricades, saving Marius from the insurrection so that Marius could take Cosette from him. We have seen him dragging Marius through the hideous muck of the Paris sewers and into safety. It is only important to remember here that Marius was unconscious, that Marius knew nothing of the manner of his rescue and never dreamt that Jean Valjean or Monsieur Fauchelevent was his savior. During the months which followed, Jean Valjean came no longer to the house where Marius Pontmercy lived with his wife Cosette in the Rue de Cablère. But shopkeepers in the neighborhood noticed that every day an old man dressed in black came towards that street. When there were but a few houses left between him and this street which appeared to attract him, his pace became so slow that at times it appeared as if he ceased to move. And when he reached the street, he stopped, trembled, put his head with a kind of gloomy timidity beyond the corner of the last house and looked into the street. There was in that tragic look something which resembled the bewilderment of the impossible and the reflection of a forbidden paradise. He remained thus a few minutes as if he had been stone. Later, the old man ceased to go as far as this corner, and then one day He did not appear. Jean Valjean was very ill.
Come in.
Father.
Cosette. Is it you, Cosette?
Father, where have you been? Why have you left us so long?
Oh, so you're here, Monsieur Marius. Do you forgive me?
Forgive you? He asked me to forgive him after what he has done for me.
Monsieur, I have done nothing for you.
Nothing? You saved my life.
You must be mistaken, monsieur.
I was mistaken, but not now. Perhaps you've forgotten a certain coachman. A coachman who drove you through the streets of Paris during the fighting. He has told me everything.
Marius, what do you mean?
But for your father, I wouldn't be alive today. My darling, he was the man. That barricade, the sewer, he went through it for me, for you, Cosette. He bore me through death in every form. Why have you not told it before?
I told the truth.
No, not the whole truth. I owe my life to you.
Father, your hands are colder. Are you suffering?
No. I am not suffering. On the contrary, my little one, I'm very well, only...
Only what, Father?
I shall die in a few minutes.
Father!
It is nothing to die. It is frightful not to live.
Father, here, we will help you. Cosette, he must lie down.
Now, children, I want you to listen to me. This money belongs to you. I've written you a letter about it. 600,000 francs. Every penny earned honestly from the jet factory at Montreux. I shall have lost my life if you do not enjoy it. You see, the black jet comes from England, and the white jet comes from Norway. You understand then how much money can be made, and then the class must be bent, not soldered. It's all written out. There. Now come closer. Come closer, both of you.
Father.
You'll weep for me a little. Not too much. You must amuse yourselves a great deal, my children. 12 dozen cost only 10 francs and sell for 16. And that's really a good business. And you can be rich without concern. You'll find my letter, Cosette. I've written it all down to you. And, Cosette, I bequeath the 2 candlesticks. There, on the mantel. They are silver, but to me they are gold. They are diamond. They were given me by the good Bishop of D. I wonder, will he be satisfied with me in heaven? I've done what I could.
Father, do you want a priest?
No. I have one.
He had fallen backward. The light from those silver candlesticks, the candlesticks of the Bishop of D, fell upon him. His white face looked up toward heaven. He let Cosette and Marius cover his hands with kisses. For Jean Valjean was dead. That night was starless and very dark. It is certain that in that gloom, some mighty angel was standing with outstretched wings, awaiting this soul.
Jean Valjean, I have purchased your soul. I withdraw it from the spirit of perversity, and I give it to Almighty God.
WOR and the Mutual Network have brought you the 7th and final episode of Les Miserables. Orson Welles, distinguished young author, actor, and director, played the role of Jean Valjean and was also heard reading the narrative passages. Assisting Mr. Wells were Frank Reddick as the bishop, William Johnstone as Marius, Virginia Wells as Cosette, and Ray Collins and Hiram Sherman. WOR and the Mutual Network have taken great pleasure in bringing to its listeners this unusual radio version of one of the world's great stories, the credit for which is due to everyone who participated in the production.
This is the Coast to Coast Network of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Thank you for listening. Les Miserables was produced in 1937, and next week we will move to Orson's work from 1938. On my website, you can listen to and download all my podcasts at otr.duane.media, all for free. You can also donate or become a monthly patron if you want. It is how I make all this possible with your support. All info is on the website. Feedback and comments are welcome. My email is info@otr.duane.media or on Instagram @duane.otr. My podcasts are available on all podcast services. Search by show or channel name. We'll hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, peace.